You're listening to DraftKings Network.
OG.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to the Cooligans. In the first segment, we talk about Hispanic Heritage Month. Lo vamos a todo en español. No, we talk a little bit of Spanish, but not too much. Speaking of Spanish, Tata Martino is wanted by Argentina. Is he going to go back? I don't know. Are Mexican players too short to play against Miazga? Slot time. Was I wrong? Probably not. Campeones Cup, there's so much.
And in the second segment, we're talking to Lauren Hutchinson, who plays for the Trinidad and Tobago Women's National Team. She put out a video recently really highlighting a bunch of issues about the resources for the Women's National Team in Trinidad, and it's very disappointing. So she gets on the show and to really clear things up and really figure out how we can all help the Trinidad and Tobago National Team.
Yes, that and more on this episode of the Cooligans.
Hey, this is Alexi Lawless. There is nobody in U.S. soccer that is more important than the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby.
What's good?
Ya tú sabes. What's up, everybody?
We got to start in Spanish because we officially kicked off Hispanic Heritage Month.
Oh, okay. I had no idea.
Yeah, that's right. Not like those other times that we start off in Spanish.
Because we want to. This is, well, we're always doing it for the culture, but this is very specifically for the culture.
Exactly. We have to, Hispanic Heritage Month is a celebration of Hispanic culture, but and it spans across 2 months.
Spans across 2 months.
It's not even one entire month. It's half of 2 months.
Is it?
Yeah, it starts from the September 15th to October 15th.
I mean, it's a month in and of itself. It's just not in a calendar month.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's very Latino. We show up a little late and we stay a little later than expected. That's it.
Exactly. We're doing it all. Welcome to the show, everybody. We are the Cooligans. My name is Alexis Guerreros.
And my name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. You know, I'm a big old Cuban guy.
Yeah, look at me. I hate food. It's so bad.
Yeah. Hey, for Hispanic Heritage Month, it's opposite Hispanic Heritage Month. Yeah. You have to learn about a new culture.
It's a Wacky Wednesday, everybody. Which is kind of cool because we are in a radio studio today. We're not doing this from stage 17 we normally do it.
That's right.
So we're being like wacky morning radio.
I haven't even settled in yet. I don't know what's going on.
No, we're still soaking wet.
It is raining. Yeah, luckily.
No, it's because I looked up photos of myself. Yeah. No, it's because it's raining outside.
It is raining quite a bit. I guess there were people that were hit by Hurricane Florence. Luckily, it wasn't the worst. Nope. You know, it wasn't too bad.
Well,
but still bad. It
was
bad
in Carolinas, yeah.
Our
friends, Total Soccer Show over in Virginia, and some of the people on the fringe, not as bad.
Yeah, bad as expected. I think the news was very disappointed. It's very weird when the news is disappointed that the storm is not worse than they originally presumed it would be.
I did not get my wish that the Virginia Beach funny bone be washed off the planet, off the face of the earth. That did not happen.
Specifically target one particular spot.
I mean, that's how I know we can't control the weather because specific spots have not been taken out. I would hope.
We are the Cooligans. We are your favorite stand-up comedians who host a soccer podcast.
That's right.
And it's not only the funniest soccer podcast that you've ever heard of.
No, it certainly is that.
Oh, sure.
But
it's not just that. It's not exclusively.
We're other things. One of those things happens to be the gulliest podcast.
The gulliest Hispanic Heritage Month soccer podcast.
Bang, bang. From now on, we're going to respond to tweets with J-A-J-A-J-A-J-A.
All right, get used to it. Anybody who tweets at us, you find something funny, we need that J-A out there.
We come back at you with some J-A's.
Because if it's H-A, I'd be like, no entiendo.
Yeah, no.
Sorry.
Because that's just which is, we're not from the Bronx. That's how they speak up there.
So there's a couple, there's so much that's happened, all right? And we're excited about today because we have a very special guest who's joining us, Lauren Hutchinson.
Absolutely.
We retweeted a video of hers, but a video that she put out recently. She plays for the Trinidad and Tobago national team.
Yeah, the women's national team.
And I really put out a heartfelt video about needing support because Trinidad and Tobago has World Cup qualifiers coming up and they don't really have the resources needed to really prepare for this game.
Yeah, the country just turned their backs on the women's team.
Yeah, and I was reading up on it, and this is a very common thing, specifically with Trinidad. This happens a lot in women's soccer.
Yeah.
But with Trinidad, there's been lots of issues.
They are number one in this.
Yeah. they can knock the U.S. out of the World Cup.
Yeah. Well, not just that. They can knock their own women out of the World Cup.
And not,
impressive.
Support their women's team well enough. So we're excited about that because we're going to have a really interesting conversation with her about it. And
we're all about this. You know, we always love when someone comes out and speaks the truth of what's happening. And you know, if people need help, especially when it comes to like women's soccer or lower leagues, like we want to be here to help as much as possible. So it's going to be a cool conversation.
Okay. So like always, we always appreciate it when you guys leave us a review on iTunes. It's always very helpful and supportive.
They're so nice, aren't they? So
people have always been leaving us very nice, kind words.
Yes.
And I just want to make sure this has become like a ritual.
Highlight. We like to highlight.
I like some of
what's the best review of the week.
Exactly. Yeah, we should do that.
The review of the week.
The review of the week.
Yo, what's good? Bang, bang. click.
That's going to be the drop for review.
It.
We just made a little theme music for the review of the week. It was very sweet up top.
It was very nice.
It sounded like.
But just when you think it's just sweet.
Just like our reviews.
Yeah, it's on site. We start off nice and then it gets mad personal.
This one I wanted to read because it was just another sweet review. And it come from the Carolinas, which is well.
There you go.
So the name of the title, the subject of this review, it just says Gun Gully. And that's 5 stars. Thank you for that. I get very.
Look, I'm a little uneasy with all the gun references.
Because out of context.
Yeah. You know that it's a character of the show, but you're just like, what are these guys talking about?
It's a soccer show. Where are they like very strong Second Amendment? On Twitter, people are like, yo, gun this, gunny that. People are like, yo, are this a MAGA podcast?
I have thought in the past, like, what does someone think when they go to our reviews to see whether they should listen or not for the first time? And the first thing they see is Gun Gully. And you're like, I don't know what this bird have
to do?
They're
Arsenal. What? I don't even know. Is Arsenal the team or the...
This is very... They're united. I mean, they seem like they're a group. Is it a militia? You know? It's a lot.
So the person who wrote it says, Art of Flight. And it says, besides listening for Gunny to dish wisdom and life lessons, this podcast lays down the cornerstone to a much-needed culture base for MLS and U.S. soccer. You guys are packaging the U.S. game into something exciting. Longtime fans and newcomers can enjoy equally and maybe sometimes occasionally laugh at least... way more than some hacks in blazers.
Hey.
Much love from North Carolina.
Let's just got a lot of love from Gunny for that one.
So thank you, Art of Flight.
Can I say something? Because of you, I held back, and I'm upset with myself.
Really?
Because one of those.
Is this what you holding back is on this show?
You're seeing it. You're listening to it in real time. This is me, filtered. Imagine me unfiltered. You just cut to a picture of my wife, eyes wide open, pupils dilated, smoking a cigarette. With a handshaking. One of those two hacks that was mentioned tweeted out how rough it is to be an Everton fan. That you come.
Are you talking about me?
No. The
yes,
hacks
yes,
and blazers,
I know you're talking
if
about.
You will.
Yeah.
It's so rough being an Everton fan because you keep showing up thinking you're going to be entertained, but it's never entertaining. And why am I doing this? And I wanted to respond kind of like being a fan of your show. And I didn't because I was like, Christian's gonna text me. And why'd you do this from our account?
Why don't you just tweet that? You can tweet whatever you want from your account.
It would've been so much better if it came from our account.
Look, I just think
it would've been petty anyway.
Yes, we've had these conversations, and people do tend to get frustrated.
Whatever.
Why are you fighting?
I can be a fan of both. Yes, you can.
Who cares?
You can. You're not voting for one of us. You can be a fan of both. both of us.
Anyway, if I catch you listening to another soccer podcast, we're going to have problems.
I mean, if you come to our shows, we're going to ask to see your phone and delete your subscription to there. But what I'm saying is you can be a fan of both.
just throw the phone on the ground. How dare you?
There's a bucket of Benedict Arnold phones.
So there's a lot of things happened, especially we were talking about the U.S. men's national team last week. Yeah. We didn't get to it.
Well, we recorded the day before or the day of.
Exactly. Yeah. So the game happened, and we didn't know what to expect. I think I predicted maybe...
I don't think we actually got to the prediction because...
We did. I think I said 1-1. I forgot what you said.
I think I said like 6-9. I was going nuts. But I did think we were going to win. I did think the U.S. was going to win.
And we did. The U.S. men's national team did win 1-0, a goal from Tyler Adams. But it wasn't even...
Mexico just came in a little short. Hey, come on. We got bits.
Yeah, we got... That wasn't even the highlight of the game. The goal wasn't even the most important thing.
It's almost like, who cares that we won? Did you see Miazga?
Maddie Miz. Yeah. The Miz as the wrestler. Similar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's a wrestler. Anyway.
That goes above my head.
I don't want people to think I watch wrestling. I just happen to know
God
that.
Forbid they think you're a nerd.
I don't want...
I mean, you're an IT guy, and you love anime, but God forbid, wrestling is one step too far.
That was one thing I shouldn't, wrestling is it's for children. It's a cartoon. It's a soap opera for kids. So when I see 35, 40-year-olds still into it, I'm like, yo, bro. I'm not claiming to be the most mature or intellectual or even the most stable in my own life.
No.
But when I see that, I'm like, yo, I'm doing better than that dude.
I know. I am the most mature and stable person ever. And I look at that and I go, all right, I don't know what happened there. Who said no to you to go to prom? And now you still with this. But I'm sure a lot of our fans love wrestling.
Yes.
Kirby, our old intern.
Yeah.
Still a big fan. Shouts to Kirby's family. I hope they're okay. They're in North Carolina.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Probably should have texted them. All right. Here we are.
Just remember it. It's like, you know what? You sort of, when things like this happen, you're like, who do I know that lives in? Yeah. And it's just
in
like
the vicinity. Because you're like, I have no clue.
It's hard. Anyway.
Yeah, it would be easy for us if you guys would text us and let us know you're living in the eye of the storm. And then we'll respond.
Okay, cool. Yeah, please do that. So Miazga, it really stole all the headlines, right? Because him and Lainez, what's his first name?
I forget. Is that Gilberto?
I don't remember.
I might have made that up.
Yeah, I forgot what his first name was.
Whatever. By the way, he's an incredible player.
He's so good.
He's going to be amazing. I am curious that he plays for Mexico.
I forgot his first name. Anyway.
He plays for America.
So, but Miazga, Diego Lainez. So
he was so close.
He goes, obviously we saw what happened. Lainez went to, goes for the ball. Miazga, a big old man,
big
right?
Big old dude.
Yes. And
grown man status on him because he left Red Bull as a kid.
Yes.
Yo, he came back a man.
He got bat misfit.
Yep.
Bat misfit, yeah. That's what they do.
I'm not sure what part they cut off of him during that, but it was impressive.
Yeah, no, but he did. I mean, look, him boxing out Lainez is not, we're not applauding him for that. Lainez is very small.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with his height. I mean, he is a small statue. This is a small player.
Yeah.
It's boxing out Leo Messi. You're like, all right, Miazga, you should do that.
Yeah.
Because you should be a lot stronger than him.
Yeah.
But they got a little chippy. The game itself was a little chippy.
Yeah, but all right, so you're not a short guy. When did you...
It feels like you haven't seen me stand before.
You're like, I've never... I can't remember if you're short enough. What I'm saying is, when did you have a growth spurt? Do you...
In my junior year of high school. I went from like...
Were you a short kid sophomore year?
I was pretty short. Probably like 5'4", 5'5".
Because you have a very young face. I could imagine if you were short, people must have thought you went from 8 years old to junior year looking like you were 15.
Meaning like I went from 13 to 15?
No, you look like you were like a little kid sophomore year.
Yes, and my body grew, but my face did not change. Okay. And no facial hair.
And you still.
Weak beard. We remember
face
that.
Is still waiting. The rest of your body's like, we getting old, bro. Could you catch up? But what I'm saying is like, I don't remember ever really being short. I was kind of always like the average height in my classes.
Okay.
So I never really understood the whole short thing. And I know people were offended. Seba Salazar from ESPN was like, this is offensive. No, this is not. This is probably the least offensive thing that's gotten said or done from player to player.
Yes.
On the field. This is ridiculous. This is what we want to see. Why is it always the everyone else gets to be CONCACAFy and we're a bunch of prissy nerds that never do any of this?
Yeah.
This is what we want. We want everybody doing this. I want Weston McKennie mushing dudes in the face. I want Christian Pulisic counting his money next to these players.
CONCACAFy sounds like a delicious beverage that you get in Costa Rica.
We're not going to list all the ingredients. We just want you to know it's relatively safe. CONCACAFy. You thirsty? Well, drink some. You will be. We out here. We doing drops. Doing commercials. Doing jingles.
All right. This is a whole marketing campaign for Hispanic Heritage Month.
What more you need?
The
CONCACAFy.
Yeah. So that was the thing that was surprising. And maybe this is, look, as comedians, this is what we sort of deal with, where the sensitivity of the culture, especially what social media makes the world seem even more sensitive than it might actually be.
Right.
So anyone complaining and this is the hypocrisy, and a lot of people have pointed this out, Mexican fans, every goal kick, yell puto over and over.
Yeah.
And then this is, okay, oh, you crossed the line.
How dare you mention that he's shorter than you.
Clutching their pearls.
Yeah, just covering the chest that's exposed. Dios mío. All of a sudden you all have rosaries in your hands.
Like, this is not the thing that's going to make me feel like Miazga crossed some line or did whatever.
And also, worse than those fans, American fans saying this is offensive. My guy, this is look at how much this changed the game. Look, should we be able to win without doing this stuff? Yeah. But how many times have we lost because the other team was doing this? How many times have we played against Rafa Marquez or Pecadito? This is the stuff they do to us.
Yeah.
And it creates an advantage. We should be learning. People said this should be a part of the U.S. men's national team camp, where someone teaches them the ways of the gully, if you will, which, again, I will say, we will do. We are happy to do that.
Sure, that'd be a good session. This is a... Look, he didn't do anything wrong. Some people, you might feel... To me, it's just like, oh, yo, he scorched him. He roasted him hard, right? Look, this little dude goes face to face with the guy who's 6'4".
Yep. Which is also awesome. Like, if you're an Atleti fan, that's what you want to see.
Exactly. And also, Lainez was burning everybody.
Yeah.
He's great on the ball. No one could really get the ball from him. He's great. He's fine. And even after the game, he was saying, like, yeah, that's just part of the game. We're talking smack.
And he said, he's like, that's no different than what I've heard my whole life. Like,
exactly.
He's gotten this before. You think Messi's never heard that he's short?
But the nerve to call Messi short, it's going to burn you. It's going to bite you in the ass in that game.
And I'm sure this will for years. But
yes.
I feel like Miazga versus the world is kind of a good thing. This is what you want out of your center backs.
Yes. Look, we talked about...
I want this from everybody.
Last week, we talked about Jermaine Jones retiring.
And who's going to take his place.
And who's going to take his place. And
we don't mean defensive midfielder. We mean goalie.
Yeah. And clearly, Matt Miazga was listening to our show. He was like, hey, you know what? I think there's a vacant position.
Yeah. I will wear that crown.
For King CONCACAF. So I will take it over because Jermaine is clearly leaving. So it's part of the game. And when it comes to an insult, look, even in that exchange, how many times did Lainez call me out? You can read their lips. He's clearly calling him, you know, a puto over and over and over.
Yeah.
So, like,
and he said puta madre. He's talking about my dude's mom. He's talking about him. But all of that's okay because he put visor on. He put hand over his eyes and shrunk a little bit.
Yeah.
That's like the easiest comeback too,
and it was cool to see Tyler Adams immediately go to Matt Miazga and be like,
and dap him
up, like, yo, good, hey. Yo, I see what you're doing.
Hey, fam, are we doing it?
Oh, Red Bull life,
yeah, that's right. Apparently, Red Bulls when Rafa Marquez was there taught him a little something.
Okay, yeah, but it must have Rafa Marquez left his handbook and like, oh, hey, look, I learned.
It did signal to Tyler Adams. He's like, oh, we gonna call Red? We gonna do this right now? This is what I want to see against your biggest rival. This is America's biggest rival on the soccer field.
It was entertaining.
What are we doing?
That's what the game should be like. And but the win itself, do you think the win itself was significant? I would say that the Tyler Adams' goal is probably more significant to me than for the sake of the U.S. men's national team than the win itself. It wasn't a great game.
No, it was not. First 45 were terrible. But, yeah. I mean, people have probably talked about this ad nauseum by now, but... yeah, no, I don't know. The win is great because it's in the history books, it's like we beat Mexico again. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
But if you look at it from the perspective of the kids that are playing, a new coach might get picked, which it seems like everyone's just openly talking about Berhalter being that guy now, unless he takes the LA Galaxy job or stays with Columbus. If that's the case, then I'm really happy with the way the sort of the youth development is going, the integration of the youth, and beating Mexico. And I know that was their kids' team. Yo, we didn't have Pulisic, right? Yeah. We were missing some stars. If that wasn't our best team, that wasn't their best team, and look what happened. You know what I mean? Like, we found a way to win. That's it. Done.
Yeah. It did feel good.
If you win the World Cup because you tricked the other team into getting two red cards, are you going to be upset about that? No.
Yeah.
I'm going to enjoy the parade.
Yeah, it was sort of annoying, the I don't know even how to explain, like, the Mexico fans, the El Tri fans, sort of the way they were talking. They definitely did. People did cross a lot of lines because there were the jokes about, oh, I understand U.S. didn't make it to the World Cup. Like, when the U.S. men's national team wins, we were talking about this during Champions League, right? When Mexico wins, it's like, oh, that's, it's an example of why American soccer is not good. It's not good enough. When any American team wins or the U.S. men's national team wins, then it's like, go for the jugular, right? And the 9/11 memes of Miazga and, like, whatever. You know, if you didn't see them, it's whatever. They were offensive. I mean, I'm not offensive. As a comedian, I'm like, all right, I see what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's not funny.
I get it. It's all you have.
So,
you know? But also, like, that tells me, like, all right, we got under your skin.
Yeah.
We won.
Which is what Miazga was doing.
Yeah. That's what we want you to do. We want you to flip out and look like an idiot.
Yeah. So, and it was effective. So the idea that Miazga was, like, classless by doing that.
That's,
it's like,
stupid.
It's very dumb.
It's stupid. And I'm glad that I have a feeling he doesn't care that you say he's classless for that.
Yeah.
He's out there grabbing crotches for playing for Vitesse, so I don't care.
That's right. He's having a good old time.
He's having a great time, apparently. It's a party, bro.
Grab him by the crotch. Yeah. That's what he does on the pitch.
He heard the president, and he was like, I can do that, too.
Well, hopefully, what league does he play in?
Vitesse. I think he plays for...
what's that league? I can't even remember. But I don't know if they have VAR, but if they do, he probably can't get away with that when there's replays.
No, like, he does the thing with the square and the TV, and then he points down at the crowd, like, come on, buddy. We see you. Okay. Eredivisie.
There he is. I couldn't remember. All right. So a couple other things happened last week in American soccer and in Major League Soccer specifically. We should talk about, before the beef, because there was a lot of beef this weekend.
Mad beef.
But Zlatan, again, in the news for just scoring 500 goals. I got his 500th.
Is this where I'm going to have to put a napkin, tuck a napkin into my collar and eat my words?
So last week, or maybe two? Yeah, it was last week. You were talking about how, look, the LA Galaxy are bad, but you took it as an example that the team is even worse, that Zlatan, who is an older man, older player, is the best on the team. And you were just like, he shouldn't be the best on the team. And
I'm still right.
Flip the table and all this other stuff.
I'm still right.
So
I'm still right. He scored his 500th goal.
Well, okay.
And that was the winner, right?
No, that was not. The team is bad.
Oh, okay.
But
that goal put him in the playoffs, right?
Nobody's arguing that the team is good or anything like that. It's just that your problem, look, if Zlatan was not on the team would be worse, correct?
Of course.
So
if Ashley Young wasn't on the team. No, Cole. Ashley Cole.
Ashley Young, still Manchester United.
If Ashley Cole, well, we got to wait till he's 38 before he gets to the Galaxy. If Ashley Cole wasn't on the team, would they be a better team?
I don't think so.
No.
No.
So that I don't think Ashley Cole's their best player.
If
Roman Alessandrini wasn't on the team, would they be worse? Yes.
Yes.
If Ola Kamara wasn't on the team, would they be worse? Yes.
The issue that people are having, based on what I was reading,
it's that I intimated that he's a trash player because he's old and he's not. No, the problem, and look, listen to the words.
Mad at the Galaxy. Don't be mad at Zlatan.
Saying the fact that he's your best player means you messed up.
Of course.
Your roster ain't right. Here's the thing. If you put players around that can help. If you build around Zlatan for next year, is that a good idea? If you're the Galaxy GM.
That's a very dumb idea. He's a good player.
No, you can't build around him because he's not going to be there the whole time.
Okay.
He can't play every game. He can't play every 90. You need to build around other players and find a way to get him in the game for, I don't know, let's say averaging 60. Yes, he has 17 goals in 22 games. And yes, I sound like an idiot right now. But if you think about it, that's not the player you build around.
Maybe.
He's not going to be around for a long time. He's already getting offers from Egypt.
Long term. No, I'm talking about for 1 year. You build around him for 1 year and get your roster good to highlight his strengths.
You need to build out. You need to build
long
for
term,
the future.
Of course, that's more important. Nobody's arguing that. All right. Just wanted to clear that up. But he did score his 500th goal.
Yes, he did.
And in spectacular fashion. What a goal. At BMO Field against Toronto. They're already down 3-0. It's crazy that only Zlatan gets to take these kinds of chances, because if anybody else does this and misses, gets kind of close, you're like, all right, well, Zlatan, we've seen highlights of him doing similar stuff.
Right.
But he basically gets a long ball from Jonathan Dos Santos, and instead of taking any touch, controlling it, I don't know who was covering. I think it was Drew Moore.
Unless Bruce Lee is covering him, no one's stopping this goal.
He just karate kicked the ball out of the air into the net. Bono was what he was like. What am I supposed to do? I didn't even.
Everyone was just like,
no
I
one.
Mean, well, I mean, you know, just put don't, it on ESPN already. You know, what does it matter?
Don't even be mad at me.
Yeah,
just because that's crazy.
You're not gonna watch the game tape. There's nothing you could do.
And Zlatan, speaking of tall players, right? Zlatan is, how tall is he? He is
6'3"?
6'5".
6'5".
So 6'5".
He should not be a forward, you know?
But to be able to do what he did, which is essentially a Ryu hurricane kick, just a spin in the air, it looked like he was about to do like ice skaters, like a triple axel, right? He looks like he's a 6'5" dude that's capable of doing something like that. And kicks it out of the air, one leg. I mean, he looks like he's doing a split.
I feel like this goal should be called the Zlatan.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because it's not a scorpion kick. It's not a bicycle kick. Is it a roundhouse? Who knows? I feel like this, no one's ever going to do it
this
again.
This is just, yeah.
So just call it the Zlatan. Or maybe he puts this into the world now. Like, who's the first guy to run whatever, the 5-minute mile, whatever it was, you know, the first guy to break that.
Okay.
And now everyone can do it. Not everyone, obviously. But you know what I mean? A lot of people now do it when it was
now you just
previously thought impossible.
Now somebody does it, now you're like, unimpressed.
Yeah. I'm chewing the second half of my sandwich. I'm like, it's really not that impressive. But like, what I mean is like, you put that in the air now, and now people can do it. Maybe he does that.
I mean, I think it's going to get more players like training by doing more yoga, more splits, more.
He's a black belt in Taekwondo. Ain't no one said nothing about yoga.
No, but to be that flexible, I mean, just saying.
It's Taekwondo. Just, I mean, you can't get to a black belt and be like, you know, I can only kick above my.
Heel. Look, it's just another. It's an alternative, Alexis. That's what I'm suggesting.
All right.
But it was incredibly impressive. And then the other thing that happened during this game, and there were comments afterwards. There was a our friend is on the TV.
Yeah.
Okay. Our friend Christy Cello is on.
I pointed at it and without making any noise, thinking you would just not say anything.
I've seen the commercial.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was pretty cool.
Our friend who's a comedian, Christy Cello, she's very, very funny. She's in an IKEA commercial. So
yeah.
Thanks, Alexis.
Jackie, if you're listening.
So the interesting thing that happened after in the middle of the game was a little scuffle with Michael Bradley, who we've talked about recently.
Yep.
Why have we talked about him recently? Because it was only funny, and it was funnier because we talked about him recently. But Zlatan did get into a scuffle with him. They were arguing, and for what seemed like quite a long time.
I don't get the oh, he thinks he's a philosopher comment. He thinks that he's the philosopher of football, as he calls it. Someone needs to tell slots on it's called soccer. That's what we're doing here.
Okay.
And also he said that he thinks he's, and I've scored more goals than he's played games. You know, you can't put your hand on your forehead and that offends people, but everyone laughs at this.
It was hilarious. I love those. He is very, he's good for a soundbite, right? He knows what he's doing. He wants to win games, but he also demands to be respected in a way that's very arrogant.
But he doesn't just demand it. He gives you a reason to never disrespect him again. You know, he's just like, if you thought I was good on the field, wait till you hear me on a microphone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there was I want to pull up.
Has Bradley said anything?
He did. He was on Max and Herc, and he did. He basically just said,
"You could have said another podcast. We don't promote anyone."
It's a good podcast.
Yeah, hey, it's two Latinos too.
Exactly.
I wonder if they brought up Hispanic Heritage Month.
So he did say that Zlatan is not the first or last player that will dislike me. So, you know.
Ooh.
So he's not really impressed.
Just accepted the hate.
Yeah. I did like that. You know, again, we talked about him the other time about Jimmy Conrad's comments, basically saying that he was a know-it-all.
Yeah.
And when I hear the comments from Zlatan, I'm like, all right, all right, I think Jimmy was onto something. You know, it feels like it corroborated what Jimmy Conrad was saying.
Oh, 100%. But I don't think many people were going, no, Bradley's not like that when Jimmy said what he said. I think like a lot of people kind of agree to some degree.
I think
it's kind of a universally known thing amongst reporters and people who played in the past.
Really?
And I think it's just us that are finding out about it now. But I also don't hate him for that because maybe that's the attitude that got him this far.
Sure. Yeah, but what?
And I know right now people are saying, "Well, how far losing to Trinidad and Tobago?" Yes, we get it. But he's helped the U.S. in the past.
Yeah. So I guess what people were what Jimmy was questioning was just that type of leadership amongst in the locker room with all the other players from the men's national team. That maybe it's sort of run its course, and just like a coach. You know, you can have a coach for a couple of years and they can be really successful. And then after a while, the message doesn't resonate with the players anymore. You know, we're sort of seeing this with Mourinho. Mourinho has his 3 years and then all of a sudden it's harder for people to really pay attention. Some people have suggested this is happening with Pep Guardiola as well, where like the effort is just not quite the same as it was last year. So maybe that's an issue with Bradley when it comes to leadership amongst the
Well, hopefully
the players.
That's happening with Pep Guardiola so he could become the U.S. men's national team coach.
He's going to resolve everything.
Oh, my God, would he?
I think the best coach.
Sampaoli?
The best, clearly, yeah. That's what I was talking about. We'll still have issues based on. It's just the structure of U.S. soccer. They're going to be at odds, and they're probably not going to understand how it works or why there's difficulties or why the pool of players is just not to the level of like smaller countries and things like that. So I don't know. I think that might not be the easiest sort of the quickest remedy. Just getting a good coach. So
that was my defense. I think so.
500 goals. Did you watch? I honestly did not watch too much of Zlatan because I didn't really watch the leagues that he played in. He played in Serie A for a long time.
I love Zlatan from back in the day.
Yeah, like
when he played for Barcelona and everything.
I think Barcelona is when I first like knew of him. And
yeah, I would say like I knew of him before because of the potential sort of you know approach of big teams. And he had tried out at Arsenal, which I don't really remember hearing about at the time. But, I mean, I've always known him as a great scorer and a big name, but he's also a big head, you know? And it didn't work out incredibly well at Barcelona, but clearly it worked out well everywhere else he's gone.
Sure.
And he was fine.
He won
Barcelona.
A title in Barcelona.
Yeah, no,
he was fine.
Wanted to be the focus.
Sure. And that's not what that team is about. No, when I saw the initial hashtag when he got the goal, Zlatan 500, I'm like, Was this a race in Indianapolis? Yeah. What's going on? I wouldn't be surprised if Latan forces everyone to change the name of all the NASCAR races.
Also, they might just, instead of Le Mans, right? The 24-hour race.
Yeah, yeah.
You have the Les Latan.
Les Latan, yeah.
I'd watch.
So, a couple other things that happened.
What else happened?
Tata Martino. Speaking of coaching, there's been rumors that he will leave Atlanta United and possibly go coach Argentina again.
That's never going to happen.
And there's also hope that he will coach the U.S. men's national team. I know a lot of Atlanta United fans do not want that, but
they don't want either of those options. They want him to stay there.
They want him to just stay. Does he have any? This was reported on MLSsoccer.com, a couple other outlets. Is this now? It's starting to feel real that I think there's a deadline. I forgot the exact date. Sometime in October, that he has to decide if he will take another job.
Yeah.
Is this a reality? Do you think he would actually leave Atlanta United?
Yes. Yeah, I do think he would. I don't think he wants to. I think he's happy there.
Okay.
But I think if the right opportunity presented itself, I think he would. I think if what they say as to the reason why he left Argentina in the first place is true, that he was really corrupt and he was frustrated with that, and he was frustrated with not being able to get everything done, and the pressure from the media was too insane, which has driven away everyone. It's driven away Messi. It's driven away other players. And it drove away Tata Martino. If that's the case, that's not going to be relieved. That hasn't been relieved.
Sure.
That's not going to get any better. Like, the media is not going to leave you alone now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's going to be even more questions, because they're going to say, well, you went to a, you know, quote unquote, easy league for 2 years. You know, why are you all of a sudden now even more qualified? Or what are you going to do when Messi's gone? There's so many more questions than answers. So I think it would be really stupid of him to go back. The other thing is, it's his home country and maybe he just loves it and decides that he wants to try to fix it. I get that. I don't think he's going to go to Paraguay. I know that's like a big question. I know some of the players on his team play for the Paraguayan national team.
They're all switching over from Argentina to Paraguay.
Yeah.
Which is like, how many dual nationals?
Yeah.
What is it? Everybody hooking up with Paraguayans? Yeah. You don't like your own Argentinians all of a sudden?
I mean, Argentina is losing coaches, players, everything. Money.
Okay.
I think Tata Martino, if the U.S., I know the U.S. wants pretty much either Vermes, Vanny, or Berhalter probably being the top. And I get that Eddie wants to pick someone who's like American.
Eddie? Who? Eddie Murphy or Ernie?
Ernie. Eddie Johnson. I was talking about Ernie. I know Ernie Stewart wants to pick someone who is American and loves, you know, the team and maybe played for the men's national team. All of those things. Fine. If there's someone who could usurp all of that, I think it's someone who has coached in this league for 2 years,
mm-hmm.
understands our development a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
Tata Martino.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just throw the $100 million you have in the bank at this man.
No, I think that would be a little bit reckless.
Obviously. But what I'm saying is give the man his money.
If anybody from U.S. Soccer is listening, don't do whoever's handling the books. Don't do that.
Let Alexis handle the books. Like, let the dude, you give the dude, you know, real money. Right? Berhalter takes the LA gig. Vermey stays. Vanny stays and fixes Toronto, right, from this year and gets to possibly win CONCACAF Champions League. Atlanta gets knocked down a few pegs, which helps us, you know. Not a bad day right there.
Okay, sure. So you see it as more out of an opportunity to hurt Atlanta than it is to gain, you know, some.
Is it really hurting Atlanta? Because what they would do, they would be sacrificing themselves for the good of
honestly,
the nation.
If Tata Martino does leave Atlanta, they would. This might be outside of honestly, and I'm not even like exaggerating at all. Outside of like Manchester United, Manchester City, Barcelona. This might be, Atlanta United might be one of the most coveted jobs in the world.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet Caleb Porter would just break in to the Mercedes-Benz Arena and stay there until he's hired. I think Mourinho might go there. You know what I mean? Honestly think like,
That's good of an organization.
It's huge. And if they win the Shield, they're in the CONCACAF Champions League.
Sure.
Right?
It's that I don't know if that's for
Wait,
this year.
Does the shield stay there? Does the shield?
It might apply for next year. I could be wrong, but because I think it's, well, they would, it's the combination of 27, remember we skipped a year,
right?
So to change the format. So the combination of points from 27 and 8, 2017 and 2018,
yeah.
Though that person, that team gets the CONCACAF Champions
League
spot.
Which I think now that Toronto had a bad season, I think that's...
It's Atlanta United is, I believe, leading by like 3-4 points, if I'm not mistaken. But they
it's
are
pretty
leading.
Much, it's the same as
it's NYCFC and Atlanta United that have the best shots, but also the Red Bulls, given their good form recently,
right.
I think they're close too.
Right, right, right.
So, but he did say, we had tweeted it, about, you know, Tata Martino saying that Argentina didn't reach out to him, that he hasn't had any conversations, and you were just like...
But so did Vieira.
Vieira said the same thing.
And where is he now?
Okay, he's in the French Riviera. So, no pun intended. Anyway.
Yeah.
but that's actually where he is. Anyway, so... Ethan White did tweet at us because he was... I think making the point that in that it's basically just business, that if you are the CEO of
I didn't see that.
He did tweet. He said if you're the CEO of you know, whatever company, of Blue Apron, and then Amazon reaches out and says, hey, you know, we're interested in hiring you, are you going to tell everybody that Amazon has contacted you?
Oh, like, of course not.
You're going to keep it to yourself. So
which tells me the players knew when we were told that it's not true.
Yeah, but you of all people speak about business and how business should be handled and should be done.
No, I'm not saying how dare Vieira have lied to us.
Yeah.
I'm not saying how dare Tata be lying to us.
But you,
I'm just saying
you did get mad at the reporters for being lied to. I don't even understand. You did get upset with the reporters.
Yeah, do your job.
They did do their.
No.
They asked
the police's job is not to be like, hey, guy, did you steal from that bank? And the guy's like, no, of course not. Well, I mean, we got to take him on his word. You need to go and investigate. That's what the reporter's supposed to do.
Okay.
Look, what I'm saying is I understand why Vieira did it, and I understand why Tata did it, and I respect both of those things. All I'm saying is if you take that report of Tata saying, no, I don't know what you're talking about, to be the end-all, be-all, were you watching with Vieira? That's not a shut the book, a closed book case.
Okay.
Whatever the term I'm supposed to be saying here, that's not what that means. That's what I'm saying. I'm not upset at either of those two.
Alexa, have you ever read a book?
You're supposed to read those things?
Well, I thought you were just supposed to cut stuff out and hide Gunny in there. I'm concerned you don't know how to open one. That's
everyone knows. You pry it open from the spine.
So we'll see what happens. I think.
So once again, I'm right.
We'll know in about October and have some definitive answers. And we will not thank one reporter for figuring it out. A couple quick things. Jack Harrison
scored a goal for Leeds.
He's
Bielsa is his coach.
He is on. That's right, Bielsa. You're another one of your heroes.
Sampaoli's teacher.
his sensei.
Tata as well. Tata comes from the Sampaoli.
Okay. All right. So it's all making sense, mm-hmm. right? So Jack Harrison scored for Leeds who kept them in first place in the championship. So he scores his first goal in England. If you don't know, Jack Harrison played for NYCFC.
We named a burger after him.
We named a burger. We had a show. You can go on our YouTube channel, watch our interview with him. He is a great, great young man, and we couldn't be prouder. I mean, there's really nothing else to say. You got to watch the goal because it was pretty awesome. Left-footed strike to the bottom corner in the 90th minute.
Just slotted it in.
To save a result. Good on him, man.
Yeah.
So proud of him, man, because like when he did our show when he was... How old is he now? 20? 21?
He's like 20, 21. Yeah, he was like, I just turned 18 when he did our show.
I don't think he was that young. I think he did 1 year of college, so he was probably 19.
19, yeah. Maybe about to turn 20 then.
Yeah. So, a good kid, and so proud of him. It's just so cool. Just
great
so cool.
Dude.
Yeah.
Great family, too.
Exactly. So, tonight, when you're listening to this, Toronto will be playing against Tigres.
Campeones Cup.
We talked about this when it was announced a couple months ago. The winner
Number one in La Liga. Liga MX versus number one in MLS Cup.
How would Toronto do against number one in La Liga?
I mean, they would play. You know what I mean?
It might have a rough time.
It might be a hard go of it, I think.
Barca, who are playing?
So you're saying your name is Pedro? Okay, this is going to be fun.
Wait, which Pedro?
I was just saying a Latin name.
Oh, okay, yeah. I'm like, Pedro plays for Chelsea.
I didn't want to say a specific name. So I just went Latin.
Okay, well, we failed you. That's really, that's all we did. So, that's going to be an interesting game. Some people, I feel like when we first were talking about it, there was some excitement. It seemed interesting, the fact that Liga MX and MLS would do this. And now
it's kind of died.
Now I'm starting to see like, oh, but the game doesn't really mean anything. And it's just like,
I think it's like anything else. I think it will get better as it goes along.
It's the first trophies, the first competition. It's this could be the beginning of something. It's just bragging rights.
There used to be something called Superliga. Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
Yeah. And no one cared about it. And it was crappy. It was Liga MX teams versus, or back then it was just the Mexican League, FAMAFA, Federación. Federación Mexicana de Fútbol, right? Or Fútbol Mexicano Federación.
Doesn't matter.
It's one of those. FIMF versus MLS. And MLS always did bad. So this could be different. And I think the reason there's a little bit of excitement is because of how well Toronto FC played against Tigres and all those other guys, coming up in the Champions League.
Yeah, and
but they're a very different team this year, so I'm not exactly sure what we're gonna see.
They also did they did beat them in the Champions League, right? They played Tigres. Yeah. So like a little bit of revenge for Tigres.
Tigres, I don't think, is gonna be playing all their best players, and I don't think Toronto can afford to either. So
yeah, this is a tough spot that they're in. They're
apparently Mavinga's coming back. He might get a little bit of a run out in that game.
Okay, what was he hurt?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't realize. I'm excited to watch it. I think a little bit of redemption for Toronto. I think they beat Tigres before. I think they can do it again.
The only way people are going to think this is bad is if a MLS player gets injured.
Sure.
That's the only way that anyone's going to be like, don't ever do this again.
You know what? But the players will be compensated, especially if they win. I want to make this important. This should be a nice bragging right kind of thing. So, real quick, we'll talk about a couple results in MLS, and then we'll get to our interview.
Yeah,
a few great games. Toronto and LA, we talked about a little bit, but LA again.
But good on Toronto for coming up with 5 goals. That's great.
But to allow 5 from LA, like,
or
they,
3 from LA,
to allow. To allow five. Yes.
That's LA. That's LA being LA.
But it's just insane that they can't resolve this. I'm every time I watch an LA Galaxy game, I know I'm going to be entertained for probably the wrong reasons, right? All I do is watch their back line.
They're trash.
They're so trash. It's like they don't know each other.
It's like the only game tape that their back line watches is Orlando City.
Okay, we're going to learn from real professionals.
Oh,
put on the tape.
You think we're bad? Let's see what these guys are up to.
Get the purple tape, all right?
Only built for Cuban links.
I don't even know what that means.
It was a purple tape.
Purple tape.
Very famously a purple tape. Because it looked like weed.
All right. Okay, I'm glad we did that. But the fact that they could give up 5 goals, and who was the back line we have? It's Ashley Cole, Skilvic, Romney, and Felcher.
Felcher scored.
Felcher did score. Yeah, he could have scored 2.
Yeah.
After missing a oh my god, the ball, it was, you couldn't have, it seemed like a quarterback passed it into his belly.
Yeah.
And he just didn't know what to do with it. Just really, really frustrating to watch. Isn't Romney related to Mitt Romney in some way?
They're both losing.
I think he's related somehow to somebody, that Romney. So Felcher, who I don't think is, I think he was injured and he missed a lot of games. And it's just like there's no one that can solidify the back line and just be like, all right, guys, let's at least be composed, right? The fourth goal from Toronto, which Osorio scored, just a cross that is, you see Romney be like, oh, no, you know what? Even though it's whizzing right by my face.
I see it, but do I have to move?
Just, it is one of those like, oh, somebody else is going to take care of it. And I think that's the main issue with LA Galaxy, is that every time when there's an opportunity for a defender to be like, I'm going to take this into my own feet, you know?
Yeah.
They go, oh, no, my...
There's someone behind me.
They got me. And then that person behind you is, no, that's the person on the other team making David Bingham look dumb, right?
And I also think it's Cole runs, you know, pretty far forward. He's constantly advanced. It's just... And I honestly think that it's just... I don't think they understand how to play Kamara, Ibrahimovic, and some of these other players, Alessandrini, together. So they're kind of moving people around to make it kind of work.
Yeah.
And what you're doing is you're left with typically two people back there.
Yeah.
And they're not a good pair.
And they're not qualified to do the job.
No. They're not qualified to do it when the other two guys are there. Never mind when they're alone.
It's like one of those, like, man, how'd you get the, like, did you nail the interview somehow? Yeah, like, yeah. What'd you do?
I mean, did you have a spreadsheet? Did you do a PowerPoint presentation?
Because
that was very impassioned.
I'm baffled that you are here with us.
When the other two, when Felcher and Cole run forward, it's like a kind of a Shameless style family.
Okay.
Where the parents also leave and you're like, well, that's not going to make it better. You guys aren't good when you're all together. When you leave the kids alone, it doesn't get better.
Yeah. Maybe it's just like the culture of the team, leadership.
You figured Dom would try to get this job. He would do one thing. Dominic Kinnear would
sit the entire back line.
All right. We're going to go with a 6-0. Like, you figured he would try to fix the back line first.
My thing that's frustrating, one thing I do get frustrated with Zlatan watching him, I feel like he is, I don't know, I can't tell if he's not a good passer or if he does not want to pass to his teammates because he doesn't trust them with the ball.
It's the second one.
It's the second one, right? Because you see it when he gets the ball and he's looking around. He looks the way... when I was playing with Cal Martino and Aleko Escandarian, and my teammates looked at me and be like, oh, I don't know if I should. Probably shouldn't. Yeah. Not going to pass it to him. I mean, we know what's going to happen. That's what Zlatan looks like.
Uh-huh.
He looks like he's looking at me out there.
Zlatan looks at everyone the way I look at an H&M. I'm like, well, there's nothing in there for me. I mean, I'm not even going to go in there.
Why bother?
Maybe there's air conditioning.
Let me karate kick the ball because I'm going to get a better chance to score.
I can't believe him overhead karate roundhouse kicking was a better option than him heading the ball to the other post.
Yeah. Hey, he did what he had to do. The next game I did want to talk about, this was incredible. DC United against New York Red Bulls. This is at Audi Field. DC United desperately need 3 points. And
you know those boxes that were just like, how about we don't defend and just go for it? Remember Butterbean? Remember that fat bald guy? He would just swing his arms and windmill.
Yes.
And he was getting pelted with punches, but he would whip the other one. That was this.
Yes.
That was this game.
This game was spectacular.
Yes.
This game was so damn entertaining. And all these British guys, oh boy, these British guys are good at soccer.
They're going after each other.
BWP and Wayne Rooney, BWP with a point to prove.
Yeah.
He's like, nah.
Anything you can do, I can do better.
Oh, you're the leading goal scorer in England? Well, you know who my dad is?
Yeah. Yo, bro. I learned a little something in the driveway, my guy.
BWP was incredible in this game. But so was Lucho Acosta. So was Wayne Rooney.
Lucho Acosta looks so freaking good.
He is relaxed.
He is relieved.
He's happy to go to work.
Yes. He's whistling as he walks in to this new arena.
Lucho's in a good mood.
Yeah, damn. Why, you got a glow about you, Lucho.
It's like, Lucho, what, you just made love or something?
Yeah,
like,
damn,
nah, man.
Bro.
I'm out here playing with Wayne Rooney.
Nah, Senor Rooney.
Back and forth. Just literally no team could. The DC led and then gave up the lead 3 times. But the goals, BWP with the hat trick. I mean the bicycle kick, which probably should have been prevented and avoided.
Yeah, one of his players almost stopped it.
That's, well, Bill Hamid, there was a ball headed in, kicked down. I forgot exactly what happened, but he catches that ball.
Yeah,
all the time. I don't know exactly what happened. He was doing real fine against NYCFC. I'll tell you that
much. He seemed just okay. I don't know what happened against the other New York team, yo.
So, and the ball skips on him, bounces up in the air, and just PWP to like another bicycle. He did that. He did the same exact thing to NYCFC, what, 2 years ago? And two, 3 years ago. I forgot how long it was. But the game itself was the fact that DC couldn't hold on to the lead. And I just couldn't believe over and over that the Rebels were scoring again. And that DC United didn't have that stronger sense of urgency.
They just couldn't clamp it down.
They really could not. But the third goal that Brad Levi Phillips scored was just immaculate. Just like he doesn't. Taylor
that was,
Twom,
that was the ball that came in from Kaku, right?
It came in from Alex Mule, which Alex Mule that he sent it was a quick cross, but the touch of Alex Mule to bring the ball down. Yeah,
that was gorgeous.
It was impressive. Yeah. But the
I thought it was Kaku. That's how good of a trap that was.
No, man, it was impressive. So the fact that BWP gets that ball and he just basically redirects it. Same thing that Wayne Rooney did a little bit earlier. But just the composure. That's really what was most impressive. And he scored a hat trick and wasn't even happy. And even after the game, he did comment. He was just like, oh, you know, we didn't play well defensively today. Like that's what the frustration was. He got a hat trick and he was angry.
Yeah.
That the team didn't get 3 points. So,
but you could say a lot about him, but he wants the team to win. He doesn't care about personal.
Exactly.
Goals. So, I mean, that I'll give him credit for.
Wasn't celebrating.
We ain't going to bring that up in a rap battle, but we'll give you that credit right now.
Exactly. I think the man of this match was Lucho Acosta. Lucho Acosta was...
He was absolutely incredible.
I've never seen him. I
thought he was a bust.
You did mention that a while ago.
I 100% thought he was a bust.
The fact that... I thought that was the best game of his career.
But he just, like, everything he did, it looked effortless. He looked like he took control. He looked like Linus. Like, I have control of this ball. You're not going to get away from me.
Yeah.
I'm going to move around. I'm going to drag you out of position. I'm going to put other players in better positions. I'm going to give everyone more space.
It was Giovinco-esque.
Yes, very much so.
He's sort of getting in that.
I don't think he has it every day. I don't think that he brings that every 90. But, yo, he brought it.
It was really, really impressive. So this puts DC United in this. Now the last couple games are going to be so
they
important.
They also have a shit ton of games.
No. They've caught up. They're only.
No, I mean they've played. I mean this is going to start to catch up to them now.
Yes, yeah. So there's one. They have one game in hand, just similar to a lot of other teams.
Yeah,
but they are 4 points out. And from Montreal Impact,
but Montreal looking good though.
But there's a they're playing. I believe it's like in 2 weeks. They're playing against each other.
Oh, that's
so.
Gonna
this
be a
is
big
gonna
one.
Be.
Were they playing in DC?
I presume so, given how many home games that they have. But we can confirm. But that game is gonna be fire.
That game is gonna be huge.
So, all right. So
when we say fire, we don't mean like the Chicago fire because we think actual fans are gonna show up.
No. No, but that's a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
That's a different.
That's that dumpster going down the flood waters.
Yeah, it's a different scenario.
Shouts to the Chicago Fire fans that listen to this. We know it's the front office and not you. What is he doing? Hopefully, he's not celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month.
You are not allowed to
deserve it.
Celebrate it, sir.
You can't ban a bunch of Hispanics and then celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month.
That's very anti-Hispanic Heritage Month. I'll tell you that much. All right, so let's get to our next segment, and we'll be talking with Lauren Hutchinson, and we'll try to figure out what's going on with the Trinidad and Tobago Women's National Team because
how we can help.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we'll be right back after this.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to The Cooligans. We should have a word from our sponsor, The Gully Squad.
The Gully Squad sponsoring the show.
Yeah, some of you are in it.
Some of you are in it. And thank you so much to everyone who has already joined. We did talk about making more content, making a second episode of The Cooligans per week. And that's what we want to get to. And we can't do that without some of your support. So the way you can support The Cooligans is by joining The Gully Squad. And there's like so many benefits to doing that. But look, you can help contribute content to the show. You can... or you can get a Cooligans Gully SD.
Yeah, get yourself some merch.
Joining. Also, like, if we have live shows in your area, you'll get in them for free. There's different levels.
Yeah.
There's levels.
There's levels to this. All right. And look, we're trying to get out there more. So many people send us messages, when are you coming to our city? Because we didn't hit you guys during the World Cup Comedy Tour. We want to come to your cities. We want to do more content. We want to go to some of these big events and bring you guys inside with us and let you see what's happening through social media and whatnot. The way to do that is to get a part of our Gully Squad. Join our Gully Squad. There's so many different levels. Even if you only have a little bit, there's a little bit you could give us.
Exactly.
Every little bit helps.
One thing I did add that I wanted to make sure I mentioned, that the people who do join the Gully Squad at the $10 level, if you want to be a guest and watch the show, you know, like be in the audience. Remember,
Of course.
We can have people come watch us record the podcast in our studio in Madison Square Garden.
We got up to 75 seats, so...
So you and 74 your friends.
Yeah, come through. Everybody gets a plus 74. Let's see what
we do. Maybe we'll be more reasonable with the number of how many people
you
can
invite. We might change it up a little bit. But maybe you just want to come hang out while be a live studio audience while we record the show. Ah, come on. Become a part of Gully Squad. You can hang out with us. You get merch. So much fun.
Exactly. So go to soccercooligans.com. You can see the Gully Squad right on the menu and join up today.
Yeah, baby, we're back.
We are back. This is exciting.
This is awesome.
This is exciting and important. And I'm glad.
Week in a row we talked to a national team player.
Oh my god. Yeah. We're rolling out the red carpet for any national team player.
Ronaldo tomorrow. That's what we're gonna do. That's who we are.
But yes, we are excited. We are joined by a very special guest who we heard about recently.
One of our fans made us aware of what was happening.
And that's right. Also, Total Soccer Show had retweeted this. That's where I originally saw it. And she plays for the Trinidad and Tobago national team.
Yes. And she put out a nice heartfelt call for help. You can hear her laughing in the background. So unless you're driving, put your hands together for the one, the only, Lauren Hutchinson, everybody.
Yeah.
Hey, Lauren. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. And thanks for everyone that's tuning in and hanging out with us.
All right.
So absolutely. Now, one, I just want to say, look, we want everyone to help you, but could you just tell the men's team to take it easy on America next time we're trying to get in a World Cup, though?
Listen, I was so hyped watching that. Oh, my God. We could not believe it.
Right, that was like revenge, right? Because I think it was in 89 that the U.S. knocked out Trinidad.
Y'all still remember that? Come on.
Absolutely. I wasn't even alive and I still remember it.
I know. That's messing me up.
That was ages ago.
Come
bro.
On. Water under the bridge. So, how long have you been playing for the women's national team of Trinidad and Tobago?
Yeah, I've been playing for about 7 years.
Okay,
that's awesome.
And
this is my seventh year.
And give us a little info on the come up of Lauren Hutchinson. Your career. I know you played at college at VCU. So how'd you get there? How'd you get into the sport? And how'd you get into the Trinidad and Tobago women's national team?
Yeah, you know, I grew up in Northern Virginia, and my dad was just one of those dads that just always took me out to fields. And he used to play softball. And just one day we were looking over and there was these kids running through a tunnel. And I was like, I don't know what that is, but that's what I want to do with my life. And, you know, when all the parents put their hands up and they run through, it just looks fun. And next thing you know, he enlisted me in soccer. And, you know, years later, we're here. But grew up in Northern Virginia, played for the local clubs, you know, Loudoun Soccer Club and Gunston Team America, SYSA, and then in high school, I got a call from just this random call from someone, you know, named Tiffany Roberts Sahadek, and I didn't know who she was, and when I looked her up, I couldn't believe that someone of her caliber wanted me to come play at her college. She, you know, played for the U.S. Women's National Team. She won the 99 World Cup with, you know, all the greatest players in the world. She's got two other medals as well, and I just couldn't believe that someone saw that in me. And then once I got to college, I had an amazing 4 years with her. Now she's down at Central Florida. She gave me the opportunity to go play with Trinidad and Tobago Women's National Team. And, you know, it's just been, it's been a roller coaster, but the best one possible. That's the best way to say it.
That's a nice way to put it.
She gave me that opportunity. So, yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about that video that you put out recently. So,
yeah.
And please forgive us because we may not know entirely how the qualification system works for the Women's World Cup. So, in CONCACAF. So you have two qualifiers coming up, right? One against Panama and Mexico, correct?
Yes, and the United States. Yes.
They're both here in the U.S.
Okay, yes. So big games. Right? This is a big deal, right? You want to be as prepared as possible for these games. You put out a video saying that these games are coming up in October, and your federation does not have any practices scheduled before these games. Is that still the case?
So, you know, well, first of all, so 4 years ago when we were in the same tournament, it was a very similar situation. Obviously, things are a little bit different. But I've lived through it once, and I've seen what it takes to prepare for a tournament like this. And the fact that I was seeing the same mistakes being made again is unacceptable to me. You know, this is the biggest stage to play at before the World Cup, the biggest stage. And I just wanted to do anything in my power to make sure that we get the training that we need. As of today, we still have nothing official. The girls back home in Trinidad and Tobago are training, you know, a small group of them. But for all the players that are scattered, either playing pro or living in, you know, Canada or the United States, didn't have anything. So I had this crazy idea to do this mini camp. My teammates actually just flew in. I literally just got home from picking them up. So there's five of us here that are going to be running our own training camp until we hear something. Things are in the works, but as of today, there's nothing in concrete, but there is projected to be a camp next week, hopefully with the entire national team, but we'll see.
Now, when you made that video, clearly you were, you know, optimistic of your ability to get that done, but clearly we can all see the frustration that must have led to that. You mentioned, Reese, just now that there were some mistakes that are being repeated. Give us an insight. Like, what are some of those mistakes? What are some of the things that you hope to see happen? What got you to the point of having to make that video?
Yeah, so, you know, I always say it's like people were almost shocked that the tournament was here. It's like this tournament has been on the books for months, for years. Number one, we know it comes every 4 years. It's something that we should be prepared for all the time. And even if we don't know the dates, we know that it's always in the fall time. And it's always 8 to 9 months before the actual World Cup. So there's no reason at all, in my opinion, that things shouldn't be put into place or at least talked about. And the other mistake was, you know, we had a great run at the last CONCACAF. People don't remember almost, though, even though we almost qualified for World Cup, but we didn't. And the minute that ended, the conversation died. And that's the problem, is these things keep repeating themselves, and then they just die, and then they just die, and then we just keep repeating them. So I'm saying now I saw the same mistakes happening, so I stepped in and made this video, hoping that I can get the resources, and the Richmond community has been absolutely unbelievable with what they're giving us for this mini prep camp. But yeah, it's just repeating the same mistakes over and over and over, not talking about it, not having the resources in place, not giving the girls the support that they need all the time. It should be constant.
Why do we think that is, though? Is it a cost savings? Is this something that they do or don't maybe do for the men's side as well?
You know, a lot of people will speak out and say, oh, they do everything for the men. I have no proof. I actually don't know specifics about the men's program. I don't. From what I told, the men do have their issues too. But from experience, it looks or it seems that the women's side has even more problems. I don't know what the problem is. And I guess that's why I spoke out, because I'm ready for the right person to hear this message and to help and to step in, whether it's FIFA, CONCACAF, the World Cup qualifiers, federations. I don't know who it is.
Two comedians from New York.
Comedians from New York. I love it.
We're solving everything, us two over here.
That's what it is.
Yeah. I mean, look, we said this when we started, that like soccer is a world sport, but in America, it's a small community for us. Mm-hmm. And it's cool that, you know, you put something out and you said people from the Richmond community are helping out. Is it the Kickers? Is it some college teams out there? Who's helping you out?
There's definitely a few anonymous people that would absolutely destroy me if I said their name, but I will say that everyone that has either a soccer club in Richmond. So, you know, Richmond Strikers, Randolph-Macon, VCU, all these people that graduated from University of Richmond that played there, have all stepped in and offered something. People from, you know, FC, Chesterfield Strikers. Literally, I've had so many people reach out and say, what can I do? Or just people, you know, parents in the community. You know, I own a very, very small business here in Richmond called Evolve, and it's about empowering young women through the game of, you know, of the game of soccer. And all of these parents have come in and said, "What can I, you know, what can I bring you? Is it breakfast? Is it lunch? Is it dinner? Is it treatment?" It has been amazing. So honestly, it's been a huge community outreach from a lot of people.
And that seems very blessed. Yeah. And that seems to be the things that you do need are simple things, right? I mean, it's just some food, a place to crash, a place to kick the ball around, right? Just to be as prepared as you can be for these huge games. And that's the thing is that you see, you know, seeing the U.S. women's program and the support that it does get, even though there's issues there, right? And this is why I really wanted to talk to you, because this is this seems to be a this oversight that's always in women's sports and in particularly in women's soccer, where, you know, we've heard issues with like with Sky Blue with where people are the team is considered not even playing or striking or whatever because of the terrible locker rooms. Just, you know, things are not sanitary. Just like not putting an importance on the preparation for the game and having the resources necessary to have a good work environment.
Or just what it means to be professional. I mean, no one on Sky Blue or Trinidad and Tobago, like, you didn't come on and be like, "How come we don't have a locker room made of gold?" You just said like, "Yo, can we get a room to change in?"
Just,
you
know, a room, homie, just a room.
Just give me a room, y'all. Like, hold up some curtains. Let me get changed. Like, you no one's asking for these outlandish things, but like, to Christian's point, it seems like women's sports are often the one where if cuts need to be made or if corners need to be cut, that's where it's coming from.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like, I just picked up one of my teammates. She's a mom of two kids that are under the age of five. And she's, you know, spending, you know, her own money to come here, leaving her kids 5, 10, 15 days early because she lives the dream. And we're always fed this thing of like, do it for the country, do it for the people, do it. And we're like, yes, we're going to do it. And the minute we ask for something, I can't even say this on air, but we're looked at as
very aggressive,
or we're looked at as the B word, you know, we're looked at as outspoken or ignorant. No, we're simply asking for the resources and to be able to take care of our families, take care of our bills, take care of our medical and health, you know, things.
Yeah.
So now it's like, how can we prevent these? And it's from me speaking with other national team players from other countries too, speaking to CONCACAF reps and FIFA reps and saying, what can I do personally to keep things in motion and not let this happen? Yeah. Or at least grow it.
Yeah, there was I forgot the name of the movie that we saw at Kicking and Screening. There was a film recently about a team in Europe.
It's the big famous one, like Rosen something, Rosengard, Rosen. It's the famous women's team.
Yeah, and but we even with successful teams, successful women's clubs, there's still this. So what are you saying? Like these other lives, like you can't fully be a professional. Like the grind seems so it seems so revolutionary. Like it seems like women's soccer today is like they have to take in like all these like battle scars so that they so that the next generation can have can live a comfortable life playing as a professional soccer player.
And it also seems to me, it seems to us from the outside looking in, if you're a young man and you want to be great at soccer, try to get the best coaching possible. If you want to make a lot of money at soccer, go get the best coaching possible. Go to some of the best, you know, academies or schools and work your way up. If you want to make a lot of money as a women's soccer player, you better work on them Instagram follows. You know what I mean?
Instagram follows.
Modeling,
appearances, everything.
Yeah, it's like you have
and
to
I'm
do.
And I'm not a model. So
it's like you
got to
do.
Work out for me.
You got to do all these other things so that you can play the game you love, and you're playing it for your country. This isn't even you like trying to start a club, asking people for favors. You're trying to play for your country. Well, I'm glad to hear that people in you know, in the Virginia area, which it seems to me like you went to school there, maybe you have a little bit more of a groundwork there.
Yeah.
It seems like they've come out and have helped out. And if there's anyone listening to this podcast right now, I know jokingly we said you guys are asking for some stuff, but you really did. You said like water, place to stay, some food, maybe some fruits and vegetables that, you know, that people can eat, things like that. If there's anyone that's willing to donate that, you know, please, I guess reach out to us and we'll put you in contact with Lauren Hutchinson. Or Lauren, how can people reach out and find you?
Yeah, so they can follow me on Instagram at HUTCHFYP, Hutch FYP. My Twitter is iHutch. And, you know, we're looking for support. You know, like I'm trying to do a little T-shirt and a little meet and greet fundraiser so I can, you know, make sure that my teammates that flew here.
All right, Coach Hutchinson.
Coach Hutch.
You know? Coach Hutch. Yeah. You know, I want to take care of my teammates. You know, they're coming out of pocket here.
And
you know,
someone on Twitter mentioned maybe you should start a GoFundMe. Did you?
Yeah. We have not started it yet. We want to make sure we dot all of our I's and cross our T's before we start something like that. Only because I think the community is ready for it, like really, really ready for it. I want to make sure that we do it the right way. But yeah, I mean, that would be phenomenal. That would take care of, you know, girls are, you know, busting through cleats and they need new gloves and they need tape and they need these things to perform at the highest levels. You know, if we want to compete with the United States and you know, the European countries and anyone else, we have to be able to not be worried about like, oh my gosh, I can only use 3/4 of the tape. You know what I mean? Like that should not be an issue. It should be like, I'm ready for my game. I'm focused on my game. I've got my, you know, my organization. I got my cleats. I got this. And then just go out there and then live the dream.
Yeah, because
live the dream that the little girls want.
It's freaking Alex Morgan out there. You want to focus on that, not
I know
all the other stuff.
I know.
It's ridiculous. And look, here's my thing. If you do start a GoFundMe, anyone that donates to that GoFundMe, save your receipts and send that straight to Trinidad and Tobago's Federation to get a refund, because that's mad disrespectful that the community needs to put their money aside when this is a team playing for their goddamn nation. Yeah. At least pay me in doubles. Can you send me some doubles?
And doubles. Oh, my God.
Now or you know what? Let me get some of that red pepper sauce from from Grandma. Let's get it.
When we qualify for this World Cup, I'm eating doubles for the next week.
Me too. I don't know what it's called when the guy or the partner eats like the same food the pregnant person is eating. That's what I'm gonna do for y'all. I'm gonna eat nothing but doubles in honor.
We're gonna be eating them together, my friend.
Yes.
Together.
You think I won't fly to Richmond for some homemade doubles? You think I won't?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Well, Lauren, look, we wish you the absolute best. Thank you so much for joining us. I know this is. Look, you have a lot to worry about even before the actual games, but I think it's great what you're doing, what you did, and I'm glad we got to see the video, and I hope more people hear your message and are able to help you guys out.
And don't forget,
thank
that's so at
much.
Hutch FYP, right?
Yes, sir.
Go to Hutch at Hutch FYP. Find
slide
out.
Slide in the DM.
Yes. No, DM, but be easy, though, Cooligans fans.
Be easy.
All right. She's got a train now. Okay. But find out how you can help. I know we're happy to do this, and let us know if there's other things we can do to help. All right, Lauren?
It's so awesome. I'm forever grateful, and be kind and treat everyone with respect. Love you guys.
Thank you so much, Lauren. All right.
Thank you so much.
Take it easy. Wow, what a great interview.
Thank you so much to Lauren Hutchinson. You did hear. Please help out if there's anything you guys can do.
At Hutch FYP.
Reach out. And look, even if it's sending goalkeeper gloves or you have spare boots or whatever.
Or maybe, I don't know, you know, Storelli or something. If you guys are listening, you know, maybe they need some insoles.
Sure.
Something, anything for those guys. It's rough that they have to do that all themselves.
But it's just such a common story.
It is. It's embarrassing at this point.
Very much so.
You know,
such a huge tournament. I don't know how in my mind, I think of FIFA. And then I think of the Confederation. And then I'm like, well, CONCACAF, shouldn't they be putting pressure to at least say like, oh, well, this is how much you're supposed to a lot for the players, and how much money for training, and how much like
what happened to Wagner's money? What happened to all that scam money he kept?
That's right,
he kept $10 million. We can't take a little bit of that slush fund.
Yo, get Mueller to get that money back.
Come on, Mueller. Where's Loretta Lynch at?
So it's stories like this that are so frustrating. You know, hearing her talk about it, I'm just like, it's hard to not get emotional, get angry.
But she's not frustrated. She's going out and making a change. And I got to be honest, that attitude is not something that I think I would immediately have. I think it would take a lot for me to get to that point where I'm like, all right, enough being angry and yelling at people. Let's go make the change. So I'm really happy that someone like her has taken that lead and is out there trying to make the change that's needed. And,
yeah.
and there should be a lot of other things that are happening, and hopefully those things happen, and hopefully they can train, and, but hopefully the U.S. still beats them. You know what I mean?
We just said, we didn't mention out there. We still want her to lose.
Oh, no, yeah. We want you to qualify so that you can lose, you know, just to the U.S. Yeah.
Oh, look, the group is U.S., Mexico, Trinidad, and Panama. So hopefully it's U.S. and Trinidad making it out of there.
That would be great.
That would be so dope.
That'd be great. But as long as the U.S. is there, that's all we care about. But honestly, shouts to everyone. I know she said there's some people that are anonymous. If you guys are anonymously helping her and the team and you're listening to this, thank you from the bottom of our hearts and from the bottom of the hearts of everyone who believes in soccer at all levels, whether you're a man, a woman, or anything in between. That's absolutely awesome. So shouts to Lauren for coming on. I know that was difficult for her to do the video, but she's out there. She's making a change.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good. And I think it's helpful for everyone to not be complacent with where women's soccer is, where these shouldn't be the conditions. It's 2018. We shouldn't that shouldn't be the standard for how we treat our female soccer players all over the world.
Yeah, come on, Trinidad and Tobago.
Let's do it.
You know what I mean? And by the way, if that interview was a little cringy that had to happen, that's it should be. It should embarrass you in trying to help and make a change and do something. This is not how we treat people that are trying to play for their country. Oh, come on.
Also, if you're cringing during that interview, then
the situation.
But you have a lot of emotional growth left in your life.
No, but I mean, because of the situation, it is cringeworthy to think that they have to do this on their own.
I wouldn't use cringeworthy, because I would use infuriating. I'm just a little bit more grown up than you are, and that's just like,
I don't know
a thing
what you're talking about, poopy face. Okay. But shouts to Lauren, thank you for coming on, and shouts to everyone who tweeted at us and let us know that was happening.
Exactly.
I'm glad we can have her on the show. So, but what a great episode.
What a fun episode. Thank you again for listening. Make sure you leave a review on iTunes. That's always very, very helpful.
5 stars.
Thank you again to all the people who have already signed up for Gully Squad.
What?
You know, you're helping us get. We're going to be doing that second episode soon. Please, more people, please sign up. Just like Lauren was asking, it's helping us continue doing this show,
yeah,
and helping us make this our jobs. This is all we want to do. We want to do stand-up comedy, and we want to do a fun soccer podcast. That's what we want our lives to be.
We want to give you guys as much content as you want, and you guys have been tweeting at us, emailing us, begging us, for leaving comments on our Instagram for more content. We're trying to get there. We got to make a lot of other things work out before we get there, but we want to do that because we absolutely love the fans. We love this community that we started, and we love the fact that you guys are sharing it, and you know, the reviews you're leaving are awesome. Join Gully Squad if you get a chance. I know that, you know, there's levels, man. If you only have a little bit, that's perfect. There's a little bit for you to give us. So we would love if you join that. My name is Alexis Guerreros.
My name is Christian Polanco.
Together, what are we?
The Cooligans!